My Confession was a song that was written by Richard Page, an incredible singer, songwriter, producer, formerly from the band Mr. Mister. And he's written a number of great songs and played them for me. And this was one that he hadn't had a chance to play for me until late in the recording process. And he kept calling and saying, I have this song, you have to hear it. And David and I were mixing and finishing up. And at some point we thought, oh, maybe we don't have time for another song, you know. Eventually he came in and he said, I'm playing this for you. And he put this song on. And it's such a nice surprise when you hear a song, especially after it's being so hyped by the writer as a great song, that it actually is a great song. We thought it was a hit song without even recording it. We heard it and we just thought, this is incredible. We cut it that afternoon, and it is definitely one of my favorite songs on the album, and it's not the first single, but it may very well be the second. I think it has huge potential. It's been 2 years since the first album, and I think I've definitely matured a lot in those 2 years. I've been thrown into so many situations where you kind of have to, you know, learn real fast or get out of the way. So it's been a real kind of sobering process, and I think I've matured a lot vocally mostly. I think, you know, the kind of voice that I have, it's going to grow and expand more as I get older. So I think that I've improved vocally in the last couple of years, but it's going to be, and it is, just as terrifying going out and promoting a second album as it was on the first. You're a baby again with all this, you know, because you have a new product in your hands that you're so, so proud of, and you want to get that across to people, and it's just as scary. You know, we've all relaxed a little bit because the first album did so well, and we have to get back into that mindset of, all right, get out there and show people some new music. Well, the first song on the CD is called Oceano, and it is sung in Italian. It means ocean. I think the song was a perfect choice for the first song of the album, and it does a number of things that I liked as a first song. It starts off very mellow. It starts off kind of getting you to think, well, what is that? Where's this going? What's happening? And it kind of takes you on a little trip, this song. And so it's very intricate rhythmically. It's got a number of different interesting musical instruments in it. I was one of the backup vocals on that. It was a lot of fun to sing over myself and do some great big roaring choruses. So it's a really great explosive song that kind of builds up into that. And it was exactly what I wanted as a first song to kind of get people to know what I'm all about and what the CD was going to be all about. So many English songs, you know, when I hear them, I think to myself, you know, the kind of singing that I do, it'll sound cheesy or it won't sound right, you know. So, you know, when we heard the song and I was able to sing it, it felt like it was actually perfect for the kind of singing that I do. And so, I don't know why, but I tend to gravitate a little bit towards the darker Broken Vow and She's Out of My Life and, you know, Just Walk Away. The whole kind of sad, depressing love songs are for whatever reason, the ones that I'm attracted to. So to get one that was called When You Say You Love Me and to have this very positive song about love was really a nice breath of fresh air for me. The first album had such an incredible reaction, and more so than I ever expected. You hold it up as this kind of divine project that you have to somehow beat on the second endeavor, and there's also that pressure from the fans to top it. And so, you know, when first going into the studio to make a second album, it's really kind of a daunting task, and kind of got to start with what you know and start with the first ideas, whether they be good ideas or bad ideas. You have to start with something. So we got into the studio and we started listening to songs that we thought might be good, because at this point we hadn't received any original music yet and I hadn't started writing yet. So we were just looking at some old songs that had been done before, and I'd kind of get a microphone and sit on the couch and just kind of sing through them, and David Foster would play on the piano and we'd make little demos, and it kind of got us rolling in terms of some of the directions we wanted to go with the new arrangements and things like that. But as I started doing a little writing, as I started receiving some amazing songs, the form really starts to take shape. And, you know, there are moments during the process where you're scared to death. You're thinking to yourself, where is it going? Yeah, I love this song, but does it fit with this song? And what, you know, we have to be done in 2 months, and, you know, how is it going to come together? And it absolutely just pops into place, and it, for some reason, it all winds up fitting, and it all winds up being exactly the way you had dreamed it to be. It was a combination of a number of things. It was that familiarity with David Foster and being able to work with someone who I love working with so much and who knows me so well and is able always to get the best product out of me, combined with the fact that I wanted to take a few steps and do a few things in the realm of the unknown. You know, flying to France to work with a writer and producer that I'd never worked with before named Eric McKay, working with other writers and producers that I'd never worked with before, co-writing a few songs myself, just some things that were real risks for me that I knew I had to take if I wanted to take that step further. It couldn't all be familiar to me. All'improvviso amore. You know, talk about energy. This was a song that David Foster wrote with the writer named Paul Schwartz. He's done the Aria CDs, and he's done a lot of experimentation, taking kind of classical Aria-type music and putting it to, you know, real electronic beats. You know, we wanted to put something in the middle of the album that just had a blistering energy. And so they came up with this song, and they put a lyric to it, and it was great to be able to work with some great big electronic beats like that. It was fun.
Six
songs. This was one that I did with Eric Mouquet in France, and it was the first song that I co-wrote on the whole album, and I played all the piano on it too. I flew to France because I was a huge fan of Eric's and of Deep Forest, which is his group, and he sent over this melody that he had been working on. He was looking outside, looking at the rain, and it was just this real kind of woofy piano, and he couldn't sing, so he was singing through a vocoder, and it was just kind of weird. But the melody was so haunting, and it stuck in my head, and I couldn't get it out of my head, and I knew that this was the one that we were definitely going to record together. He said, okay, great, we got the music. Now get your laptop over to the piano and write a lyric. And so I wrote all the lyrics, and it was one of those just kind of real great creative processes. The end of the song I felt ended too early, so when I got back to LA, I wrote the last remaining minute of the song. There was a piano piece and a bit of an orchestra piece there, and then it kind of explodes into this other chorus that kind of ends, bringing it back to the end of the song. I felt like it needed a little more, so I did that when I got back to LA, and that was one that I was so thrilled to have click. I was so happy that it wound up coming together into the song that I was really proud of.
It's the debut of Josh Groban's new album, Closer, on the Josh Groban Radio Special. This is the Josh Groban Radio Special. We're debuting his brand new album, Closer, which is available in stores everywhere starting this Tuesday, November 11th.
I'd like to be able, 10, 20 years from now to say that I've kind of put my foot in a little bit of everything and done it in an intelligent way. I think there's so many invisible lines out there about what people think. Whatever you do in the entertainment industry, there's certain invisible walls, and I'd like to be able to break through those walls, but do it in such a way that doesn't scare people or make people think I'm out of my league. So, being able to make this music exactly the way I want to make it has been a blessing. Being able to perform in the venues that I've been able to perform has been a blessing. Being able to do Broadway, I didn't think I'd be doing that for a long time, and to be able to do that was incredible. I had a wonderful time doing Ally McBeal 2 years ago. I would love to continue doing acting. I'd love to do some film one day. Fortunately or unfortunately, the music has taken over completely, which has been great. But, I'd like to try it all. I always wanted to write, and I've been able to co-write on 3 songs on the album. So, slowly but surely, maybe even not slowly, I've been able to really kind of tap into a lot of the things I've wanted to do.
You raise me up to more than I can be.
Raise Me Up is a song that is so inspiring to me, and it's one of those songs that could mean so many different things to so many different people, and very rarely do you find a song that can be that for anybody. It can be about God, it can be about a family member, it can be about a good friend, and so I hope this song connects with people the way it connected with me, and I'm thrilled to hear that, once again, radio has been very supportive in terms of taking something a little bit out of the box. I mean, this is kind of an Irish gospel song, I would say. There's Illan pipes, and there's gospel choirs, and there's all sorts of things going on, so it's a little bit left to center, but I'm so thrilled to hear that it's doing so well.
Now back to more of the Josh Groban Radio Special.
I was talking to someone and I was saying, I feel like I'm closer to what I want to do. I feel like I'm closer to the fans. And I was thinking, no, that's it. It's closer. It's just closer. That's why I chose the title. It brings me closer to the fans that have appreciated the music. It gives them a different side of me. It gives them a closer view of me and more personal view of me with the writing. And it's closer to where I want to be in my life and in my career. I feel my voice has gotten stronger. I feel like I'm getting there slowly but surely. That carrot is dangling in front of me, and there's always something else that I see in front of me that I want to accomplish. And I just feel like with the completion of this album, I'm getting closer and closer to doing that. And it definitely feels like the absolute perfect next step for me in terms of what I want people to hear. It certainly was a Stradivarius. And I love singing with violin. I think the violin is such a vocal instrument. It really blends well with the voice. Mi Manca Dai is an Italian song. The musical theme is from the movie Il Postino. I love Italian cinema music. I think it is just some of the most gorgeous, sweeping melodies that have ever been written. And we did the same thing on the first album with Cinema Paradiso. We turned it into a song called Se, and I did it here again with the Il Postino. We took this melody, and a good friend Marco Marinangeli did the lyrics and really nailed that, and we turned it into a really sweet love song. And so I thought to myself, as we were thinking about what we would do with the song, you know, it needed something. On the original track, it had an accordion playing along with it, and I had done a concert with Joshua Bell about 2 months prior to recording the song. You know, as soon as he took out that Stradivarius and just played the notes that Jeremy Lubbock had written for him on this song so brilliantly, it just had a whole new life, and it was amazing.
This has been the Josh Groban Radio Special, with the debut of his second album, Closer, available this Tuesday at music stores everywhere.